Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, the Double S Express, back together again here on the Double. Sean Wally, happy Memorial Day to you and yours.
Yes, happy Memorial Day to all our listeners. I know that for everybody, for most people, it's a time to have a day off. But the most important thing, Sean, is that we reflect for all our veterans and the people who serve the military and give thanks.
You know, it's a great opportunity to not only think of people in the past who have been in our lives and served our country, but also the present as well, and not to forget people that are currently serving and doing a great thing for our country.
Yeah, you know, it's times like these where we can go back and reflect, Sean, and just, you know, think about how great of a country this actually is that we have the chance to have the liberties that we have, because there are some other people that don't have. And, you know, we have brave soldiers that put it on the line day in and day out so that we can have those liberties. And it's just a special day.
It's one of the many reasons this country is the greatest in the world.
That it is. That it is.
On this Memorial Day, we hope you've enjoyed good barbecue, good friend and family time, and now you can kick back, relax with that beverage of choice, and now we can talk a little sports, and there's a lot going on in the world of sports, and goodness, can Rutgers catch a break, Sean Boyd?
Man, you know, it just seems like just when things are starting to get right in the land of Rutgers that, you know, something else pops into play, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, Sean, because the topic of today, and you know, on the East Coast of New Jersey, Julie Herman, she was hired on as the athletic director for Rutgers. And, man, you know, it like everything was rolling in the right direction. But now there's controversy in the midst of her hiring. And what I'm talking about, Sean, is after Mike Rice, everybody knows Mike Rice, the men's basketball coach or the former men's basketball coach, was fired just with some heinous things that were going on in his program. And as a result of that, I mean, heads just rolled. So Tim Pernetti, the former athletic director, he resigned. Jim Martelli, an assistant coach, resigned. And then John Wolf, the senior vice president, also resigned. So you would think that Rutgers had everything in place, Sean. And, you know, as far as, hey, we're going to vet our people. We're going to get all the information straight. And then all of a sudden this big bombshell comes out. And what I'm talking about, people, is that Herman has, I guess, had a past around 15, 16 years ago. She was the head coach at Tennessee, and it sounds like there were some bad things that went on there as far as just the verbal abuse was given, so much to the point where her assistant coach, it sounds like, sued the college to where she got up to $150,000 and won, and had some of her former athletes that petitioned and said, what a horrible person that Julie Herman is. Now, of course, this is just these is just hearsay, or this is just these are the words that are coming out actually in the press. So we're gonna have to stay tuned on what's going to happen. But man, what a way to get things started as you feel like you're riding the ship.
You know, you would have to think, Sean, that possibly Rutgers didn't do a proper background check on their new AD. It's amazing how they can continue to go down this road.
You know, it's beyond me, especially after everything that's gone on and all the people that I've mentioned that have fallen by the wayside, that Rutgers wouldn't do their due diligence as far as vetting the next person that comes in. Now, it sounds like President Robert Barkey, who's the acting president now, he says that Julie Herman's job is safe. Now, that's what we heard before with Mike Rice before he was actually fired. So we're going to have to stay tuned to see what's going to happen. But, man, this doesn't look good for Rutgers at all. It doesn't look good. What their program is supposed to be about, especially in light of what's been going on over the past month.
Well, hopefully they can right that ship at Rutgers, and no time like the present to do that now. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, the Double S Express here on the Double. And let's go now to the phone lines as our big-time guest is with us, Daryl Brown, former member of the Atlanta Braves and Chicago Cubs organization and current Major League Baseball scout. Daryl Brown, how you doing, sir?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me. How you guys doing?
It's a pleasure to have you with us here on this Memorial Day. Thank you so much for taking time out. Sean Boyd, take it away.
Hey, Daryl, how you doing, man? Welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express. And, man, just think, you know, I bet you didn't think a few years later after our friendship here that we'd be on the radio sharing and talking with listeners and going over some of the cool stuff that you've been doing in the past, man. But here we are.
Oh, no, not at all, man. I mean, like I said, I appreciate you guys having me here, man, and I'm excited.
Man, well, we're excited to have you on the show. And Sean, you know, your background playing major baseball and in the Cubs organization and in the Braves organization, man, it's just been a pleasure to get to know you on the level that I do. And, you know, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your, you know, what you're doing these days?
Well, now I'm a current Major League scout for an American League club, and, you know, and what I'm, you know, basically I scour certain territory, and man, I just try and identify talent and let my superiors know who I'm interested in, and if they have the same kind of interest, and maybe we move forward, and we you know, the draft is coming up in about 9 days, so we see if we're lucky enough to pick one or two of these guys and give them the opportunity of a lifetime.
Now, you mentioned that the draft is coming up in 9 days. Tell our listeners here what types of territory that you're covering with the Major League organization that you're with.
Well, what I do is I cover the border of California and Oregon down through Bakersfield, and then I have the majority of Nevada except for Vegas. And what I do is really I just identify kids. Right now we're in May of 2013. Well, I've already have my 2013 taken care of. I actually already started scouting 2014 today.
Wow. So, yeah, that's a great, great territory. So you're covering a lot of ground. It sounds like you're burning the midnight oil. The flights are probably hectic. You know, how does that go as far as balancing the time with the Major League team that you're with and family life and the whole nine?
Well, I tell you, it's tough. It's a little difficult. But my wife, Lisa, you know, she didn't really understand because she never knew I was a baseball player. It's a funny story. As when we met, I told her I was actually rehabbing my shoulder in Tempe, Arizona, and I told her I was a starving student at Arizona State University. So she was taking care of the dinner bills for the first couple months until she figured out that I was rehabbing my shoulder. And as I got in on the other side, from the playing field now into the executive side, I mean, now it's tough because, you know, I was gone for 4 or 5 days. I can spend up to 10, 12, 14 days on the road and then come home. And, you know, I'm thinking about my players that I've seen and I'm lining them up on my board. And you know, it's just my wife always says, hey, you're here, but you're not here. So it makes it really difficult for the months of January, you know, through to June. You know, you gotta have an understanding wife first and foremost. But right. What I do, I have an extreme passion for the game of baseball and actually, you know, in the scouting industry.
Daryl, Sean Wally here. You've spent time in a couple different organizations in your playing days. What did you learn most about those days, and how do you relay that to prospects now?
Well, the biggest thing I learned, I mean, I grew up in the inner city, and professionalism is always something big that stands out with me. I mean, I was fortunate enough to sign with the Atlanta Braves at the time, which you know, they're one of the top two, if not the best, organization in baseball. And, I mean, this is a simple thing, the simple routine, wearing a collared shirt, you know, being professional, being on time, you know, being a 19-year-old kid out of a junior college, you know, you didn't have that kind of structure to a sense, to a certain degree. I mean, this is, I mean, when you're talking about playing for the Atlanta Braves, I mean, you're talking about playing for, at that time, I mean, they were in the playoffs and they were going into the World Series, and, you know, you were just a small extension of that championship organization, so you always had to keep your best foot forward. How it helps me now is, you know, you kind of look at these kids and you try and look beyond, you know, just the surface, because, you know, that's what scouting is. I mean, you're always trying to find the diamond in the rough, but as you get to know a player, you know, it's just like with life. My father always told me, you treat people how you want to be treated, and you really get to know people, and you'll be shocked sometimes when you really get to the core of certain people, and you don't never judge a book by its cover, because I'm telling you, I mean, I've made more friends and scouted some really good players where, you know, other scouts have been off of them, and I'm just like, you know what, there's something deeper than what you guys are seeing, and I take the time to discover who they are. And you know what, one of the guys that I signed, he's in Double-A right now, pitching well for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
In your playing days, did you learn anything that to this day you look back and go, wow, I had no clue that minor league and Major League Baseball was this way?
Yeah, you know, growing up, all we ever thought about was playing baseball. And it really, you know, like I said, when you go into the clubhouse, and you have to be there. You know, game time's at 7:05, but I walk in at 2:05 or 2:15. I'm there almost 5 hours before game time, so it's all about preparation. And now with me having my, you know, three boys, one in college, and my wife, I mean, I'm all about preparation, and it kind of gets under my wife's skin a little bit. But, I mean, I always have to, you know, make sure that I'd rather be, you know, 30 minutes early than 2 minutes late, and it's carried over into who I am as a scout, who I am as a person, from a school function to, you know, if I go out on a date with my wife, you know, some of us, you know, husbands, if we have a 7 o'clock dinner appointment, you know, sometimes the wife is barely putting on her makeup at 7 o'clock, and I'm sitting in the car ready to go. But it definitely helped me, you know, if I have a game to watch at 5 o'clock, I'm usually there at 3 o'clock just to watch everything around me. And I did that as a player. I loved going to the ballpark early. I loved watching people. I loved watching people, how they responded towards us. Cause I never thought that signing a baseball or saying hello or giving a kid, you know, a high five or, you know, I didn't know it was that much impact in what we did.
Yeah, Darryl, this is Sean Boyd again here. It sounds like there's a lot of preparation, a lot of basically fortitude and dedication that, it, you know, for a baseball player, anybody's nature, it doesn't necessarily have to be baseball. You know, how do you find that in, you know, in the youth that you're looking at today, in the scouting, as far as, you know, making sure that you that flash in the pan?
Well, obviously we want to, excuse me, know as much history as possible with these players. I used to have a youth program the kids, they started at about 10 years old, and obviously that's creating history and getting to know these kids from 10 years old all the way until they're 18 or maybe they're 20. That's usually how it starts, because what you know, when we would play other teams, and we would play teams from Southern California or Central California or even up in further Northern California, and you get to know these players and you get to watch them, and the next thing you know, they're 12 years old, then they're 14, then you see them in the high school ranks. Hey, I remember this kid from 3 years ago, and I just, you know, that's where it all starts for me. And as you start getting deeper or closer and closer to their senior year, and if, you know, if they're able to get a scholarship or maybe they're a pro prospect, then I have 3, 4, 5 years of history, and, you know, it makes my decisions a lot easier when a general manager or my supervisor or scouting director calls and says, hey, what do we have on this kid? I mean, it's like clockwork. I know these guys like the back of my hand.
Daryl, in your playing career, what do you feel was your peak, your pinnacle? What was your shining moment?
Well, you know, there was a couple. I mean, as far as playing, I remember spending in 1996, I spent in the Florida State League with a gentleman by the name of Kerry Wood, a pitcher with the Chicago Cubs. Mm. And we were able to, I say we, but he did a lot of the work. I mean, we were able to combine for 2 no-hitters, and that was something that was really special. I ran into Kerry about 3 months ago, and we spoke about that, and I said, hey, man, the media would come up and talk to me, and I said, hey, that big old 6'5 right-hander over there did all the work. I just came in and held him down for a couple innings. But, you know, what was really huge for me is that I kind of have a weird story because I was drafted as a center fielder originally, and I was left-handed, and I can throw hard, and I was athletic. I was a 3-sport guy in high school, and when I got to the Atlanta Braves, they said, hey, you're going to pitch. So what was captivating to me was I learned how to compete at a high level as a pitcher when I never had any history of pitching. So that just, you know, that just really speaks volumes of the player development. See, back in those, you know, 20 years ago, you can take a raw athlete and really spend the time and develop them and see where it takes you. And those were the two things that really stood out in my mind as a former player, because I never thought in a million years I was going to end up, my career was going to be on the mound.
Yeah. So were you, you know, becoming a scout, was it something that the organization pursued you and said, hey, Daryl, you know, we would love to take a look at this and be a scout? Or was it something that you wanted to pursue? How did this come up?
Well, what happened, the gentleman who signed me, he was actually the senior director of player personnel with the White Sox, and he was assistant GM at the time in about 2001 for the Milwaukee Brewers, and he just said, "Hey, are you interested in coming back?" And I said, "Hey, I'm still working on my shoulder. I may want to come back." And you know, every three years or so, I'd get a phone call. "Hey, are you interested?" And then I stopped getting the phone calls, and I had to call him. And I said, hey, I think it's that time for me to get back in the game. And they, you know, he didn't hesitate. He brought me in. I went to a Major League Baseball scouting development program that was held in Phoenix, Arizona. And after that, I went on, and my first job was with the Arizona Diamondbacks. And, you know, it's the next best thing to playing for me.
Somewhere down the line, you know, possibly pursuing, you know, maybe assistant coach or manager, or how far do you want to take this?
Well, I have a love for scouting. I have a passion for player development. I really love to get my hands on players and bring in the right people to help develop these players and match up personalities. And, you know, I have a deep, deep passion for that. As far as coaching, I don't really see myself coaching, because I do love the scouting end, but I love being on the field. So, I mean, everyday coaching and being on the field every now and again are two totally different things. And I love throwing batting practice, but I just think that being able to sit in a room, you know, with the front office, with our coaches, with our staff, and just talking about players and what are these players' strengths and what are their weaknesses and what do we need to work on and can we get this player better? How long is it going to take us to do it? You know, all those things come. But I think, you know, I really love scouting, but my passion, I really want to get my hands on on some of these players and really help them develop and just keep whichever organization I'm working for, just keep an abundance of talent. So if we need to make trades, if we need guys to take, you know, to slide on in at the big league level, you know, kind of what Atlanta did in the 1990s and early 2000s.
Yeah, and still going on. I mean, that Atlanta organization, I mean, by you being a part of it, I mean, they are still doing some successful things even today. I mean, they're sitting in first place right now, I believe, in their division. So definitely learned a lot, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, it was just, I mean, I don't know John Schuerholz that well. I've come across him a couple times. But, you know, I tell you what, I mean, he's always said hello. He didn't wait for me to say hello. And it's just those guys, just being surrounded by good people, it really takes a lot of pressure off your plate because, I mean, guys are going to figure it out. You know, players are going to figure it out. Managers are going to figure it out. But you're only as good as your leadership, you know, and your guidance. So, you know, I just think that that's what was instilled in me being a part of the Braves organization in those early years.
Current Major League Baseball scout Darryl Brown, kind enough to take time out of his Memorial Day to join us on the double with the Double S Express. Got time for one more question for you, Darryl. What are you seeing in the majors currently? What teams do you like? Maybe a little West Coast specific, as that's where our show is somewhat geared. What do you see out there that you like the direction maybe one or two teams are heading?
Well, I mean, right now, as far as the teams that are going in the right direction, in my eyes, I mean, I believe, you know, Oakland has always done really well with their scouting and their player development, and everybody. It seems like every year, you ask yourself, how are these guys doing it? And you know, they sign the right players. They're calling up the right players. They got a good group of guys, a good clubhouse, and I always tip my hat off to them. Obviously, I always look to see what the Atlanta Braves are doing, just because, I mean, they're the team who drafted me, signed me, and, you know, I just think that they're doing a wonderful job, and I thought it was a great trade on both ends. Even though Justin Upton has all those home runs, I just still think Martin Prado was a huge success as far as clubhouse and his ability over with the Diamondbacks. And, you know, I know that the Toronto Blue Jays were, you know, with the big trades that they made, and, you know, I know guys, people were expecting more early, and I believe it was too soon, but I think that the win that they had last night, I think it's going to spark, I think they're going to go on a pretty good run. I think they're going to go on a really good run, and whatever happened in May is going to stay in May, and I think when we get into August, even early September, you're going to be talking about the Toronto Blue Jays.
Some great insight there from former pitcher in the Atlanta Brave organization as well as the Chicago Cubs and current Major League Baseball scout Darryl Brown. We appreciate your time tonight. Happy Memorial Day to you and yours, and thank you so much for the time here on the double.
Yes, yes, Darryl. Hey,
thank you for having me, and you guys enjoy.
Hey, you too. Hey, you make sure you kiss that lovely wife, Lisa, for me. Tell the family that we said hello. And see, Daryl's holding out on us. I know that he did something over there barbecuing, man, and I'm missing out. So, hey, we're going to have to make
a
time.
I'm actually sitting in my car doing the video while everybody's eating barbecue right now.
Hopefully they saved you some.
Yes. All right, man. Well, it's good having you on the show.
Oh, I appreciate it. You guys take care and have a good one.
All right.
There he goes, Darryl Brown, current Major League Baseball scout, former pitcher in the Atlanta Brave and Chicago Cub organization. We got no time to rest, Sean Boyd. Let's get right to it. Big time guest number two waiting on the line is Tim Lewis, sports anchor reporter up in Como TV in Seattle. Tim, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express.
What's up, gentlemen?
Hey, how you doing, Tim? Welcome.
Thank you very much. It's great to be on with you guys tonight.
Appreciate you taking the time out on this Memorial Day. Not a holiday for you, though. A busy, busy sports day, busy, busy sports weekend.
That's you know, that's the way it works in this business. Holidays don't really exist when it comes to the broadcast business. But of course, obviously, thinking of you know, the men and women who served our country and then lost their lives, you know, serving our country as well. So obviously, celebrating the holiday, but also putting in a solid 8-9 hours at work today as well. But like you said, a huge weekend here in Seattle, and also a big day today, especially for the Mariners today.
Man, Safeco Field is, man, smiles all around the last two nights. Hasn't been seen in the last week, week and a half, as the team had dropped eight straight. And now they've start a small winning streak, winning 9-0 today over San Diego. What was that like?
It was huge, man. I mean, you come off that really edge-of-your-seat thriller yesterday, 13 innings. You know, Jason Bay, Raul Abanez hitting that game-tying home run after Texas took the lead. Jason Bay coming up about 2 feet short on a game-winning home run, and then coming back in the 13th again with that game-winning single to give the M's that victory and snap that eight-game skid. And then you come back today, Aaron Harang, who went out last time against the Angels, a game that Seattle lost 12-0, wondering, okay, what is this guy capable of doing? He was coming off of a back injury as well. And the dude comes out and just throws BBs, man. He allowed four hits today, struck out eight in his first complete game shutout since 2009, looked like an ace for the Mariners, something that they've had some trouble with starting pitching, especially during that losing streak. So it was great to see Aaron Harang come out and throw well, and it didn't hurt his cause that Seattle scored four runs in the first inning, that Jason Bay home run, and then, of course, Michael Morse following up with a three-run shot as well. When you have a 4-0 lead, it's a little bit easier to sit back and just try to take care of business like Aaron Harang did against the Padres.
That's the voice of Tim Lewis, weekend sports anchor, sports reporter for Como TV in Seattle. And talking about Jason Bay, we're seeing, should I say, a resurgence of his career.
He's playing really well right now. I give him all the credit in the world. A lot of people, when the Mariners signed him to a contract in the offseason, a lot of people shrugged it off like, oh, man, Jason Bay, he's old, he's injury-prone. I think people forget that Jason Bay is only 34 years old. When you talk to him, you do interviews with this guy, I'm 32. Jason Bay is 34. When I talk to him, I feel like I'm talking to a guy who is my elder. You know, that's just the way Jason Bay is. But he's 34 years old. He still has some life. The thing you have to worry about with Jason Bay, like I mentioned, is that he is a little bit injury prone. But right now, he's swinging the bat. He's a veteran presence in a very young clubhouse, which got even younger today with the addition of that 22-year-old prospect, Nick Franklin, who I think we should definitely talk about. But, you know, Jason Bay, and I think even Raul Abanez, the guy has been so clutch late in games lately. And, you know, when they were in New York, Raul Abanez came through with those big home runs. Yesterday he had that home run. And you have to figure in those situations where maybe a younger guy is at the plate, Jason Bay hitting the game winner. If there's a younger guy at the plate, you kind of have to wonder, okay, what's going through his mind? Is he ready for this situation? We've seen Jason Bay do that in the past. We've seen Raul Abanez do that in the past. And those guys offer that for this Mariners lineup.
Hey, Tim, Sean down here in Sacramento, California. You'd mentioned some of the moves that the Mariners have made today. Give the listeners a brief synopsis on what's going on, the changes that they've made, and how this could possibly be a look that could have them turning the corner in the season.
Well, that eight-game losing streak, I think, finally shook some people up in the Mariners organization. I think Jack Cerenzik and Eric Wedge finally decided, you know what, we need to make some changes. Jesus Montero got sent down. They called up Carlos Trienfel, a younger player, younger prospect, infielder. And then today, sending down Dustin Ackley, who has struggled. He's hitting .205 this season, only one home run in 45 games for the M's this year. A guy who was a second overall pick, had all this hype, and has never really done anything for the M's. Sent him down today. Lucas Lutke also went down, calling up Hector Noesi. But the big call-up is 22-year-old Nick Franklin. The guy can play second and can play short. He was hitting .324 for the Tacoma Rainiers when he got called up. He smacked four homers in AAA. A young guy. He's the fifth-ranked prospect in the Mariners organization. a guy that people have heard about for years. People are really excited about this kid. Finally got his opportunity today. Came in as a defensive replacement. Came in at second base where Carlos Triunfo was playing. They moved him to short. That's kind of the nice thing about these young infielders. They can play all over the field. Made a couple plays in the field, got a couple assists in the eighth inning, and then had his first plate appearance, which wound up being a walk. But just really cool to see. You know, the Mariners have some really talented prospects at the high level. There's Danny Hultson, a pitcher who's fighting through some injuries right now. James Paxton, another great pitcher. The first-round draft pick last year, Mike Zunino, who's knocking on the door as well. And then there was Nick Franklin, who's now in the big leagues. Very exciting to see what this guy is capable of. And I think it's just a sign that the Mariners are not going to be as patient with some of these guys. Jesus Montero, sorry, you know, your defense isn't very good. You're not really hitting the ball the way we expected you to. Have fun, you know, down in AAA and get your game back in order. And the same thing happened now with Dustin Ackley, and I think we're going to see a lot of these young faces. And I think, you know, those young faces can bring some real excitement to Safeco Field.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. You mentioned excitement. And I believe that this young crew that's being brought up will definitely get things stirred up a little bit. Tell me how this might affect baseball players, pitchers like King Felix.
Felix, when you're around the clubhouse and you're around this team, is a guy who loves to have fun. And just like I was talking about Jason Bay, I'm not going to call Jason Bay young at 34, but he's younger than people think he is. Mm-hmm. Felix Hernandez, he's what, 26, 27 years old, 25? Somewhere in there. He's been around the big leagues since he was 19 years old. We forget that he himself is young. I mean, where most guys are in their third year in the big leagues, he's a seasoned veteran now. So I think these young guys coming in is a perfect fit for Felix Hernandez. Obviously, I think he would love to have a talented, awesome crew around him. And if that means the guys are 22 years old or if they're 41 years old, then so be it. So Felix Hernandez to me is a guy who probably embraces some of this youth movement. And again, as long as they're guys who are going to help the Mariners win ball games, I'm sure everybody is on board. And again, I think that patience has just run out. You know, I think Justin Smoke was one of those guys who was on the fringe as well of possibly being sent down to AAA, just like what happened to him last year. But he's kind of coming around a little bit. But I think that patience is running out for some of these guys where expectations was so high for them. And there's so much young talent now in the minor leagues that, that youth movement might happen now. And I think you have to look at this team right now, too. I don't want to be a glass half empty guy, but, you know, these guys aren't going to the playoffs. They're still, they're still growing and they're still, you know, becoming a team. They're not going to go to the postseason. So it would be nice to see, okay, well, if Jesus Montero is not going to get the job done, if Dustin Ackley's not going to get the job done, let's see if these young guys can do it, and let's start the youth movement now.
Good, yeah, definitely food for thought, especially for the Mariners. I mean, as you're saying, you know, of course, at the beginning of the season, the hopes were a little bit higher, and of course, after signing the contract, King Felix it pretty much said, hey, we are going to the postseason, and there was definite means of optimism. But after seeing what's been going on right now, the ups and downs, the roller coaster that is the Mariners organization, I think it would be that they're still in the rebuilding phase.
Yeah, I think it's really safe. And I think there was a lot of excitement around this Mariners team as well because of the incredible spring training they had. Those guys had so much pop. They hit more home runs than any other Mariners team ever in spring training. And yes, it's only spring training, but there was a lot of reason there to be excited about this team. They came out, they started okay, and then they really got your hopes up with that six series unbeaten streak. Mm-hmm. They climbed the standings. They, you know, weren't winning a lot of consecutive games, but they were winning series, which is just as important. And then all of a sudden it's an 8-game losing streak. I think just unfortunately that's the way this roster is built. That's what you're going to see from this team. There are going to be a lot of ups. And there are also going to be a lot of downs. And, you know, so a 8-game losing streak, and then all of a sudden, you know, winning two games. I wouldn't be surprised if they come out and beat San Diego the next three nights. And then who knows what happens with Minnesota. And it's, you know, it's just that's the kind of roller coaster you ride with a team like this. Yeah, I would love to see them win consecutive games, consecutive series, and make a playoff push. But, you know, unfortunately, I know it's only May, but I think it's safe to say that this team isn't going to offer that. But I'm not saying that that's really far off either.
Great insight from Tim Lewis, sports anchor and sports reporter at Como TV in Seattle, joining Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the double here with the Double S Express. Tim, shifting gears to the NFL franchise in Seattle, the Seahawks. Man, you think they get a leg up when Crabtree in San Francisco goes down with his Achilles, and then not quite as important as a player to the Seahawks, but a good player in Anthony McCoy at tight end goes down. It's like things aren't exactly aligning for that championship run right now.
Well, you know, that's the crazy thing. You look at all the offseason moves that Seattle and San Francisco made, and it was like they were fighting a war with each other with free agents and draft picks. And it seemed like every move San Francisco made, Seattle made a counter move and vice versa. And it was like, holy cow, these guys, you can tell that it's a fight right now to win the NFC West. And it's going to be San Francisco, and it's going to be Seattle because of the moves that they're making, and they're making these moves against each other. It was like almost watching a football game develop in the off season because these guys were just going back and forth against each other. And like you mentioned, I haven't really thought about that before, where it's like kind of tit for tat here because Michael Crabtree goes down with that Achilles. He's obviously a much bigger part of that San Francisco offense than you get Anthony McCoy going down, possibly lost for the entire season, at least 9 months. They're saying likely 9 months to recover from that. And, you know, I've known people who've torn their Achilles and it's taken a lot longer than 9 months. I think that might be a little optimistic. At the same time, though, the people that I've known aren't elite athletes and didn't have, you know, incredible trainers and stuff to bring them back. But it's really funny. I remember last year I went to a press conference with Pete Carroll, and it was going into the postseason. And he mentioned that the 11 players on each side of the ball that they were going into the postseason with, their 11 starters on each side of the ball, were the same exact players that they had at the start of the season because they avoided major injuries, which is unheard of in the NFL. And he even said this is the first time he can think of at any level that he's had a situation like that happen. And then, of course, you know, you get Scruggs going down with an injury. But you lose Bruce Irvin because he made a terrible mistake taking performance-enhancing drugs. And now you get Anthony McCoy. These injuries are already starting to happen in the offseason. Now, again, I'm not saying Russell Wilson, and I'm going to knock on wood right now. I hope you can hear that. I'm knocking on wood right now because, you know, we're not talking about Russell Wilson, you know, blowing out his knee or anything like that. We're talking about, and I'm not trying to take away anything from Anthony McCoy and his ability or Greg Scruggs and his ability, but, you know, those they're pieces of the puzzle, but they're not, you know, that major piece. So hopefully they can avoid that. They're back on the field tomorrow with their second OTA, and that's where McCoy got injured, the OTA last Monday. And you just got to hope that these guys, you know, can stay healthy, especially through these off-season workouts.
Tim, as a guy that works closely at watching the Seahawks and has liked them for most of your life, explain, if you could, to the listeners that may not be as in tune with the Seahawks as you and I are up here in the Northwest, as to how incredible Russell Wilson is in not only his ability but his great work ethic.
That's the thing that people say about Russell Wilson. He's the first guy in the building every single day, and he's the last guy to leave every single day. I remember it was at the Monday's OTA. Russell Wilson was talking about how he went on his honeymoon with his wife after the Super Bowl, which he planned a couple weeks after the Super Bowl, as he said, just in case. And he even said, he goes, you know, I took about 2 weeks off to go on my honeymoon and enjoy that. And he goes, and that's a long time for me to take off. And he was right back in the grind. He's staying in Seattle. He's working. The guy constantly watches film. He is a workaholic. And I mean, that's the thing. A lot of the players, is endeared the right word, got endeared to Russell Wilson when he came in as a third round pick last year. Everybody said he was too small, but a lot of the veteran guys looked at him. And, you know, he was going against Matt Flynn for the starting job and even Tavares Jackson, even though we knew Tavares had absolutely no chance in making it. But, you know, a lot of the veteran guys looked at Russell Wilson's work ethic and attached to his leadership. He came in there thinking, and acting like I'm going to be the starting quarterback on this football team, and everybody flocked to him. I remember Michael Robinson at the end of the year last year doing locker cleanout, and he was just in awe, basically, of Russell Wilson and what he had done throughout the season. And he's just an awesome guy. I mean, Russell Wilson, you know, you deal with a lot of athletes in this profession, being a sportscaster, obviously. And, you know, there are some egos, I think might be a good way to put it. You know, Russell Wilson is the kind of guy who, when you're done with an interview with him, he thanks you for doing the interview with him. And he's a very humble guy who I think sees that he's very fortunate to be in the situation that he's in, and he's making the most of that opportunity, and he's doing that through a lot of hard work. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of size, but he's got a huge heart, and I think that's what so many people love about him. I mean, he's like a cult icon here in Seattle now, and he's only been here for a season.
Yeah, Tim, you know, yeah, Russell Wilson, I mean, when he was drafted by Seattle, you know, you could tell the look on his face as he was sitting there with his wife. It seemed like he was so confident that he could come in and take the starting job. And as a result, of course, the great things that he's done over the past year, I mean, leadership, his leadership qualities are off the charts.
Off the charts. Yeah, it's incredible. And I think, you know, it's so funny because I think that there were a lot of people out there who, I mean, the stories were done a ton of times last year where everybody doubted Russell Wilson. That's why the dude slipped to the third round. He had a camera in his face for three rounds during the NFL draft and finally was picked. And, you know, he is very humble, but he is very confident. And he acts and approaches football as though they're going to win every single week. And he's a guy, you know, it's such a cliche. You hear it all the time in sports. We're going to take it one day at a time. We're going to take it one play at a time. We're going to take it one quarter at a time, whatever it is. But, I mean, Russell Wilson really has that mentality. If you even tried to ask him about the postseason late in the year last year, it was like, oh, man, I'm not going there. Like, I'm focused on the task at hand. I'm looking at, you know, our game against the 49ers, and I'm not looking past. Well, you can't look past the 49ers. That was a terrible example. How about the Buffalo Bills? You know, you know, we're not looking past Buffalo. And he truly means it, man. Like, you know, a lot of times it's just a cliche, but to him, it's a very true statement. And as you said, his leadership skills are off the charts. And I think it's so telling that you can have a guy like Michael Robinson, who's a veteran. Anybody, I mean, Marshawn Lynch, any of these guys would say that Russell Wilson is the leader of this team, and he's in his second year in the NFL.
Man, you know, yeah, definitely, again, mentioning the strong leadership, and so we expect some great things to happen. I know that the NFC West a couple of years ago was a division that wasn't looked upon as being strong, but as you look now and some of the changes that have been going on, especially with Arizona and St. Louis trying to make these adjustments as well, the NFC West is going to be one of those, if not the top division in the NFL.
I'm glad you said that for me, because I was going to go there. I was going to say it might be the best division in the NFL, but I didn't want anybody jumping on my case who, like, loves the NFC East or something like that. It's so true. I mean, like we were talking about earlier, man, you know, the Seahawks and the 49ers were just trading off-season moves and were just making themselves that much better. And I think it's very clear to see that those are the two front runners heading into the season. But look at the Rams. I mean, they performed so much better last year. I think they finished, what, 8-8 last year, somewhere around there. A team that should not have been 8-8. You know, Jeff Fisher did an incredible job with that football team. They've made some big off-season moves, you know, bringing in Jake Long and you know, just building their roster. The Rams are another team that I think can compete in that division. Now, Arizona, they need to find a quarterback, and they need to make some other changes. But, you know, they made some offseason moves as well to be competitive in that division. And I think it should be a lot of fun to see how that plays out. And it's great because we get to see all those teams twice every single year. So if it's the best, well, I say it's going to be great, and it's always good to go against the best competition, but maybe you want to play in like you know, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the worst division in the NFL. But again, I don't want to offend anybody, but, you know, it'd be nice to have some.
You can go ahead and say the AFC West. It's okay.
Yeah, right. That's where I was going to go, but I don't want any mad tweets at me right now.
Right.
Tim Lewis of Como Sports in Seattle trying to be PC, politically correct here on the Double with Sean Boyd.
Unbiased, man. That's right. The name of the game when you're a broadcaster. Well, you know, I went to Washington State, but I cover the Huskies. You can't show love one way or the other. You got to love them both equally. Sorry, I cut you
That's
off.
Right.
Now, Tim, you've worked in every television market in the state of Washington. If you could, before we let you go, tell me about what you learned in all those different markets and how it is working with your father, longtime news anchor Dan Lewis at Como in Seattle.
That's a great question, man. Talking about being in this television business, you learn so much. I started my career at KEPR-TV in the Tri-Cities, and, you know, I was a 23-year-old kid making very little money as a news reporter. You know, I just wanted to get my foot in the door, and you just learn so much, and it's, you know, a lot of career paths, you know, you need to have a you want to go get a master's and you'll get paid more. When it comes to broadcasting, as long as you have some background in it, or hell, even if you don't, if you have some experience being on the air, that's what you need. As long as you can get yourself in front of a camera and get on the air or get on the radio, whatever it is, as long as you can get that experience, that is so key. And that's what, you know, KEPR and the Tri-Cities offered me. That's what KIMA and Yakima offered me. And then I went to Krem TV in Spokane, Washington. And really cool, you know, I've got to see the entire state. I've covered every single high school you can possibly cover in this state, minor league teams, every team, you know, I've covered them all, and it's been a real big blast. But no bigger blast than, you know, like you mentioned, I get to work with my dad almost every single day. And that's something I dreamed about as a kid. You know, I saw him doing his work and always thought, man, I want to do the same exact thing. I want to do sports. I don't want to do news. But thought I want to do the same exact thing, and always dreamed of the opportunity to possibly work on the same desk with him. And, you know, I've been working here for about 9-10 months now, and I still can't get over the fact that I walk in the building and I get to see my dad and hang out with him and talk to him, and then, you know, we go get to work together. It's incredible, and it's a dream come true.
Yeah, Tim, and you talk about living the dream, man. And, I had a chance to read the story about, you know, how, you know, basically what you're saying as far as getting to Como. And I got a chance to watch your dad bring you onto the air. And I mean, for all of us, I mean, we have Dad's Day coming up here in a couple of weeks, and, you know, all of we do, I mean, we want to please Dad. And for you to come full circle and have your dad introduce you on the first show and show the little picture of you when you were a little kid, and all of those things, I have to tell you, it did. I got a lump in my throat. I was excited. I was happy. I was like, man, you know, Tim is living the dream. It had to be exciting.
Man, it was. It's, you know, I don't have kids. I've never been married. You know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, my life revolves around work, as much as I hate to say that. You know, and that it's always been my goal to get to this point. And, you know, when you do this long enough, you sit in front of the camera, you forget sometimes that you're on TV. I know that might sound really dumb because that's what you do for a living, but you kind of forget it. And there's no such thing as nerves anymore. It just becomes natural. And that was easily the most nervous I had been on TV since probably the first time I was on TV at KEPR at the Tri-Cities. No, I mean, it's a moment I'll never forget. It's it was such an incredible deal. But, you know, aside, the nerves have gone away, but every single time I'm up there with him, I worked with him tonight, and I'm going to be on the air with him tonight at 11 o'clock as well. You know, just, it doesn't get old. You know, I feel like that same excitement every single time I'm sitting up there with him is just like that first time.
Awesome. Well,
that says a lot about your father, Tim, that he's working a Memorial Day holiday after all the years he's put in there at Como.
It's unbelievable how dedicated to work my dad is. The guy is the most committed person, heck, I've ever seen especially in this business, the guy wakes up in the morning, he listens to news radio, he reads the newspaper, he goes to the gym, he watches the news, he comes home, he's watching the news. He is so on top of everything always that whenever something comes up, he knows what the answer is. Or if a bridge collapses, you know, he remembers a levee that's happened a few years ago that included that bridge, or whatever it is. It's the guy is so incredibly committed, and I'm in awe of him. You know, unfortunately, like I said, my life revolves around work. I think I got some of that work ethic from him as well. But he's incredible. He's been here for a really long time, and he's, you know, man, I don't know. He's an incredible guy, and he's a really, 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 really hard worker.
Tim Lewis, thank you very much for your time, taking some time out on Memorial Day. Sports reporter and sports anchor at Como TV in Seattle. Thanks for joining us here on The Double.
I had a blast, gentlemen. Have a great night.
Hey,
thanks
a lot.
Thank you. Tim Lewis in Seattle at Como TV. Joining us here on The Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And we had a frantic first two great big-time guests here, and we will get to break and come back and try to make sense of it all after this right here on The Double with the Double S Express.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
A little Born in the USA on this Memorial Day evening. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd, we had just a second to catch our breath. What a great show we have had for you here tonight.
Yes, two great guests that we had on today. Darryl Brown, thanks for taking the time out and coming to On the Double with the Double S Express. And then Tim Lewis coming on as well. I mean, just two great guests that we had on today. Found out a lot of things that, you know, I didn't know about as far as the preparation is concerned.
Yeah, lots of great information from a former pitcher in the Atlanta Braves and Chicago Cub organization that is now a Major League Baseball scout. That would be Darryl Brown, who was our first big-time guest. And, yeah, Tim Lewis at Como News in Seattle. Como 4, he is a sports anchor, sports reporter. Brought some good insight on the Mariners, the Seahawks, and what life is like in the broadcasting world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, a lot of sports shows that are on, what they do is they railroad and they talk about, you know, a couple of things, you know, meaning that, of course, there's the NBA finals that are getting ready to come about. We have the conference finals right now, a lot of baseball. But, man, when you have good quality talk like we have on the Double, Sean, I mean, it kind of gets away from you. We got to catch up what's going on with the Heat and the Spurs and, you know, all that cool stuff. And, man, we just lost track of time talking to some good people.
Is anybody going to catch the San Antonio Spurs? Can anybody slow them down in the NBA playoffs?
Well, man, I'm glad that you asked. I mean, right now, you know, the San Antonio Spurs are up 3-0 against the Memphis Grizzlies. And they're doing a number on the Memphis Grizzlies now with about a minute and a half left in the third quarter. San Antonio's up 69-62. Tim Duncan's doing his Ullman-type job along with Tony Parker. And, you know, hopefully the Grizzlies can at least get a game here or there.
A lot of great competition. And, of course, there's everybody's favorite, or most people's favorite, the Miami Heat still plugging along.
Yeah, you know, last night the Miami Heat had just that, a heat check as far as where they were at as a ball club. They went into Indiana tied 1-1 in that series. And, you know, of course, people think that, you know, the Heat are just going to roll through all the way through to the finals. And Indiana kind of punched them in the mouth a little bit in game two. But the Heat came out in game three, and it was the bigs that actually put them over the top. I'm talking about Chris Anderson, the Birdman. And Udonis Haslam actually had a great game as well. LeBron James is continuing to do his thing. And if D-Wade can actually start to play a little bit better as the series goes on, it might be lights out for the Indiana Pacers.
Can anybody in the NBA stop either of those teams, the favored Miami Heat and the San Antonio Spurs?
Well, you know, a lot of people think that the Miami Heat, again, like I said before, are just going to roll through all the way to the NBA Finals and win another championship. And, of course, the Miami Heat fans would like to think that, especially after LeBron James saying not one, not two, not three, it looks like it's on that way. But you can't knock out the San Antonio Spurs. And, of course, the old adage, slow and steady wins the race. And that's all that the San Antonio Spurs do. They're a very fundamental team. They stick to the script, and Popovich is the type of coach that just says, hey, you know, this is who we are. I rested these people in the middle of the season and late in the season for a reason. Now we're gearing up. Let's see if these two meet in the finals. Let's see what wins. Let's see if the strength of LeBron James can actually pull it out, or if actually the savvy veteranism of the San Antonio Spurs can win a national title.
That is the voice of Sean Boyd in Elk Grove, California, suburb of Sacramento, California. I am Sean Wally in Eastern Washington in the Tri-Cities. This is On the Double with the Double S Express. Let's go ahead and get to one final break, and we will go ahead and take a caller or two. Give us a ring on the Double with the Double S Express. If you want to ask a question, talk about the show, talk about the guests we have had on, the number is 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. We'll be right back on the Double.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
That's right, Bruce Springsteen, born in the USA, here on Memorial Day, here on the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Sean, let's get right to the phones. We've got Rich in Tacoma, who has been waiting patiently. Rich, how are you, buddy?
I'm fine. How are you guys doing?
Hey, how you doing, Rich? Welcome to the show, man.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So you got a question for us, or do you just want to talk about the show? What do you think?
No, actually I do. I'm just halfway curious. As far as football goes, Dallas Cowboys, you know, is Romo done? What do you guys think?
Man, so is Romo done? You know, I would say right now, no. The only thing that is hindering Tony Romo right now is Tony Romo. And, you know, he's in a situation right now when you're talking with the ownership of Jerry Jones and the glamorous life that is in Dallas. You know, I wouldn't say that he can't handle the pressure. I just think that, you know, at some point, you know, it started to consume him a little bit to where he's losing a little bit of focus. You know, there are so many players that have come by the wayside in and out of the organization. And Dallas is hanging their hat on Tony Romo. I wouldn't say that he's done just yet. I would say give him a couple more years to see if he can find a nucleus to mesh with. You know, is Dallas where they need to be as far as competing against the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks? Not even close. But I believe if you put some solid players around him, hopefully Jerry Jones kind of takes a step back a little as far as having his nose into the X's and O's And unless Jason Garrett do what he needs to do, I think Dallas could be a pretty good foe in the NFC.
You know, Sean, I have to say that Tony Romo is a serviceable quarterback, but the old adage, what have you done for me lately? What have you done in December? What have you done in January in the postseason when it really matters? And the answer to that is nothing. Granted, it's not all on his shoulders, but, you know, I know we've got super fan of the Cowboys, Ricky in Pasco, Washington, and Leland in Lakewood, Washington, that, you know, they're Cowboys for life. But right now, his track record is decent in Romo, but he's not getting them to that next level.
Hey, Sean, it's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, I think it all boils down to, I believe it was 2006 to where, you know, in the, I think it was the NFC divisional game to where the Cowboys had the game won against Seattle. And, you know, Tony Romo's legacy began right then and there when all he had to do was catch the ball on the snap to hold it and have a place kicker kick it through the uprights, and they win the game. But that didn't happen. And since then, I mean, it's been a snowball downhill for Tony Romo ever since.
You know, Sean, I was on the field for that game at what is now CenturyLink and working for the television networks, and that was amazing. You talk about a stadium going from down in the dumps, and the season's over. They're going to make a 21-yard field goal. This is a chip shot, just about an extra point. And sure enough, Romo fumbled that football, and big play Babs, Jordan Babineau, tackled him, and end of story. Seahawks move on.
Well, you know, it could be said that that was, you know, could have been the pivotal play that allowed Seattle to have their long run and Dallas not to run. And so, you know, maybe those things combined just a little, you know, have Tony Romo in a funk right now. And who knows, maybe he needs a new team. But, you know, no, I don't think he's done at all.
Rich in Tacoma, thanks so much for the phone call. Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express.
I always will. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
There is Rich in Tacoma, our second caller, going down in the record books as number two. Second caller on the double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. Man, two big-time guests tonight, a caller. Does it get much better, Sean?
No, you know, I mean, you know, I talked about, you know, Tim Lewis living the dream, and, man, you know, we're doing the thing that we like to do, and, you know, it's only going to get better for us as well. And, of course, just remembering, you know, again, this is Memorial Day, and thanking all the veterans and all the people who have paved the way. And, of course, have a story to tell for us as well. Like, you know, I'd like to say happy Memorial Day to my dad, you know, for serving in the Air Force, you know, and it's just a, you know, a great know that people put their lives on the line and step out and do what they do, you know, for the betterment of this country.
Definitely a huge Memorial Day shout out and love to family members of ours that are in the military or have served in the military, your father being one, Mr. Gil Boyd, definitely thanks to him. And, you know, I've got a handful of friends and family, definitely. And Karen and Larry Seehofer, 20-year-plus in the Navy. Jan Wally down not too far from you in Applegate, California. Mm-hmm. And I'd be remiss if I did not mention Matt Granis down in San Diego, currently in the Navy.
Yes, and so, yeah, of course, there are lots of family and friends, and, you know, it's just a great day for us to take the time out. And, again, man, we are truly blessed. We're truly blessed to live in a country that allows us to pursue our dreams, that allows us to, you know, on this day that we can celebrate and continue the journey that is our dream.
A fabulous show for show number three here on the Double with the Double S Express. Darryl Brown, current Major League Baseball scout, former pitcher in the Atlanta Braves and Chicago Cub organizations, and our second big-time guest, Tim Lewis, Como Sports in Seattle, Como TV. Great insight from both of those guys.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area.
Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
Welcome back to On the Double with Double S Express, Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd. And Sean, what a fabulous show we have had for you for show number three.
Yes, definitely an exciting show. And again, as I mentioned before, you know, just great people to talk to, you know, and if you're looking for talk sports talk radio that has a little bit of substance, you've come to the right place. You know, callers, if you'd like to call in, you know, the toll-free number is 888-429-5471. And if you want to go to our the Double S Express website, it's double-s-express.com. And you can give us all types of insight, feedback, some of the things that you'd like to hear from the show as well. And again, Sean, you know, it's just been a treat today.
That's right. And you can also find all of our show information and how to contact us on our website, as Sean mentioned, or our BBS Radio show page, bbsradio.com/onthedouble. Find all of our contact information, the phone numbers to call in for our next show, which will be next Monday. And we will have more big-time guests lined up and be ready to rock and roll 7 p.m. Pacific.
Yes.
All right, that's going to wrap up show number three here on the Double. Alongside Sean Boyd, I am Sean Wally. Hope you had a great Memorial Day weekend. And Memorial Day, we will talk to you a week from tonight, next Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Double.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.